Well, we are right in the midst of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. We're going to give you insights straight from the land of Israel about this amazing time of the year.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, we are going to have a great time today on The Line of Fire on this thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Michael Brown, welcome to the broadcast. And as you would say in Hebrew, Chag Sukkot Sameach, happy Sukkot holiday. Chag Sameach, happy holiday. As we are in the season of Sukkot Tabernacles, Jews around the world building these booths, the Festival of Booths, you may know it as, remembering our time of wilderness wanderings, and it's a time of celebration. It is a week-long festival, and the Bible speaks of it in both the Old and New Testaments. I want to give you some insights about that today, some of the things pointing back, some of the things pointing forward. If you have any Jewish or Israel-related questions of any kind you want to ask me, or you differ with my theology and beliefs as a Jewish follower of Jesus and would like to interact, number to call is always 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And throughout the show today, I'm going to be playing excerpts from our DVD, Jesus and the Feasts of Israel. It's four 25-minute programs that were recorded by the Day of Discovery. We were in Israel to shoot last October. Michael Redelnik, Professor Michael Redelnik, who will be joining me on our tour to Israel next May, and is an expert tour guide himself, will be providing a lot of extra information and detail for you. He hosted the interviews, and then Avner Boesky and myself were interviewed, and Avner blew me away with his knowledge of the land and history and Hebrew language. In fact, he's been an expert tour guide himself. So there we are in the land of Israel talking about these things. This DVD is available for your gift of any size. We're also going to give some away. We're going to have some fun Q&A, some educational Q&A for you on the program. And you'll find this educational and edifying as well. 866-34-TRUTH. Now, here's the deal with the Q&A. I'm going to trust your integrity and honesty here, all right? Now, if you're an ultra-Orthodox scholar, Jewish scholar, you can call in. That's fine. If you want to win a free DVD from a Messianic Jew, feel free. That's fine. That's legit. If you just finished a course of study and you know these things, that's fine. You're just not allowed to look up the answers on the internet. If you've got books at home and can research and find things, that's fine. Or at your place of business, you're able to do that. But you're not allowed to look up the answers on the internet. Okay, because otherwise you just plug it in and there it is in a second. So here you go. Are you ready? Your first question. It's going to be true or false. It's going to be multiple choice. Are you ready? The number to call is 866-34-TRUTH. It is true that during these different sacred times on the biblical calendar, that different portions of Scripture are read during this time of the year. So certain thing read on Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, certain thing read during the Passover holiday. So here's my question for you. All right, are you ready? Here's my question. Which book of the Bible, of the Hebrew Scriptures, is read by Jewish people worldwide during the Feast of Tabernacles? Is it Lamentations? Is it Song of Solomon? Is it Jonah? Is it Ruth? Is it Ecclesiastes? We'll give you a free copy of our 100-minute DVD on Jesus and the Feast of Israel. So, which book is read in the synagogues at this time of the year? Tabernacles. Is it Song of Solomon, Lamentations, Ruth, Ecclesiastes, Jonah? You got a 1 in 5 chance of being right just with a guess. 866-34-TRUTH. Get your calls on the other side of the break.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, on the 15th day of the seventh month, the Lord's Festival of Tabernacles begins, and it lasts for 7 days. Live in temporary shelters for 7 days. All native-born Israelites are to live in such shelters, so your descendants will know that I had the Israelites live in temporary shelters when I brought them out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God."
Now, it does say in Scripture that these are the feasts of the Lord. Now, there are believers who say that means that every follower of Jesus, Jew and Gentile, should celebrate these, should recognize these. What I say clearly is that they are of significance for all people, that they are of prophetic and spiritual significance. Those that want to join in with the celebration, wonderful. Those who feel a legal obligation to, I would say that's the wrong approach. Those who try to impose it on others, an even more wrong approach. But those who find delight in this, who say, hey, why don't we follow the biblical calendar? We're not trying to, if you're a Gentile, we're not trying to become Jews, or we're simply celebrating the feasts of the Lord. Hey, wonderful. Why not? Isn't there liberty? If you say, well, I have liberty not to do it, well, then isn't there liberty to do it? So this is the culmination of the annual biblical calendar. And these holy days, these seasons also tie in with agriculture, with seasons of rain and seasons of harvest, as we'll talk about. And with it, with each of these festivals, holy days, starting with Passover, which is March, April on our calendar, Nisan in Scripture, starting there and then culminating with this time of the year, with the sounding of the trumpet blast, the blowing of the shofar, then the Day of Atonement. Then that's followed, this time of awe, of repentance, is followed by a week-long holy celebration. It's a time of joy and rejoicing. So even though it's a time of mourning and repentance, it's followed by a time of joy and rejoicing and remembering the past, remembering what we came out of. But there's also a great future ahead. Zechariah 14 speaks of it, all nations celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. There's something that we are looking forward to as well, symbolizing the end time harvest. We'll get into that more. Joey, let's play clip number two, and then right after that, we will go to the phones and we will go on with our multiple choice test today.
This year, we were sitting in our booth in Tabernacles, and we nearly had to go back in the house because the rain was so strong, and that was the first day it started.
So, I mean, that would be the season. So the rain comes, and you've got your two harvest seasons, your two rain seasons, the time of God's provision, and also the booths, because you're remembering back.
So it's not just agricultural, it's historical.
Those were the voices, along with me, of first Avner Bosky, and then Michael Rudelnik. Remember, Michael Rudelnik will be helping to lead the tour with me in Israel next year. And all the places we were, the sights and sounds, you'll get to see them face to face. Go to my website, askdrbrown.org, to find out more about the Israel tour. Okay, my first multiple choice question was this. During the Feast of Tabernacles, which portion of Scripture is read in the synagogues? Is it Ruth, Jonah, Ecclesiastes, Lamentations, Song of Solomon? And by the way, once we have a right answer, all of you who are on hold, stay on hold if you like, and you can be the first ones that can try for the next multiple choice question. How's that? All right, let's start with Matthew in Boston. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. What's your answer, sir?
My answer is Lamentations, the Book of Lamentations.
A good guess, but not correct. Why did you think it was Lamentations?
I suppose because of just lamenting the rebellion and just being humble before God that way during the...
Yeah, it's a great educated answer, but it's not the case. It's actually read, Lamentations is actually read on what's called Tisha B'Av, the ninth day of the month of Av, which normally comes July, August on our calendar. And that's when Jews remember the destruction of the first temple, the destruction of the second temple, and other calamities in Jewish history that all happened on or about that day. Good guess, but not correct. 866-34-TRUTH. By the way, feel free to call in and just wait around for the next question. Our phone lines are jammed, but as a phone opens, you can get in. Jennifer in Point Pleasant, New Jersey, what's your answer? Hello, Jennifer. Are you there? All right. Well, we've lost Jennifer. Vanessa in King George. All right. Michael in Jersey City, New Jersey. What's your guess?
Hello, Michael?
Yes, go ahead. You're on the air.
I guess it's Ruth.
Ruth, no. Good guess. Why did you think it was Ruth?
I don't know. Just took a shot, Michael.
Hey, it's worth taking a shot. Didn't cost you anything. Good try. All right. Are we going to get a winner out of our first five or six calls? Kathy in Owings Mill, Maryland, we've eliminated Lamentations. We've eliminated Ruth, which means it's either Ecclesiastes, Jonah, or Song of Solomon.
Hello. Man, I thought it would be Lamentations, too, so I'm going to say Jonah?
No, sorry.
Oh.
Close, but no cigar. I appreciate the guess. If you keep listening, I'll tell you when Jonah is read, but I'm not going to reveal that just yet. Okay, listen, you want to make it easy? 866-34-TRUTH. We've only got two left. We've only got Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon left. It's got to be one of those two to get your free DVD. 866-34-TRUTH. I'll wait for another flood of calls before I go back to the phones. Which one is it? One of two. 50-50 chance. First one gets it wrong. That means the second one gets it right. 866-348-7884. You'll really love this DVD as well. Let's go on with our discussion from this very DVD that we're giving away now. And this is a woman that was also interviewed on the air. We spoke to different folks in Israel as well. And she's talking about this agricultural time of the year, this season of rain. You've heard over the years about the early rain and the latter rain. Well, it's the fall rain and the spring rain. That's what's being referred to. So this is the season of the fall rain. Clip number three.
And in fact, it was always considered very odd by the local Canaanites. How come just when the rainy period begins in Israel, the Canaanites who come back into their permanent dwellings from the watchtowers that they have built in the fields, they come back into the dwellings because it's going to start raining? And these crazy Israelites, that's when they go out for this week to live in the fields, and invariably you're going to get rained on. But it is a historical reminder of what the Lord had us do in Sinai during the 40-year wandering each year during the period of Sukkot, of the Feast of Tabernacles.
Ah, so an interesting time to be dwelling in booths. So which portion of Scripture is read in the synagogues at this time of the year? Matthew in Broad Run, Virginia, what's your answer, sir?
I think it's the Song of Solomon.
Oh, you had a 50-50 chance. Good guess, but no, sir. Why did you think it might have been Song of Solomon?
Well, because of some of the scripture in there kind of talks about the bride and that. And I figured because Tabernacles has to do with the wedding feast, that the bride would, you know, kind of fit in there.
Yeah, that's, again, great guess, great idea, but no, appreciate it, though. Appreciate the effort. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, David, Washington, D.C. David, if you've been listening carefully, then you have the answer. What portion of Scripture is read, what book of the Bible is read in the synagogues during the Feast of Tabernacles?
Well, there's only one left, and it's Ecclesiastes.
You got it. You got it. Do you have any idea why?
I don't remember why, but I did learn this in Bible study. I can't remember. I knew it was between when I first heard the question, it was between Lamentations and Ecclesiastes. But I do remember being spoken about in Bible study.
Got it. Well, good for you. All right, stay right there, David. We will get your address and send you a copy of the DVD for free. Everybody else, stay on the line, all right, because we're going to be coming to another question in a minute, and it's going to be multiple choice, so you'll be able to take a guess, take a stab at that time. All right, so stay right there, and we will get back to you. So why is Ecclesiastes red? It's red for a couple of reasons at this time of the year. In Hebrew, it's called Kohelet. One is Ecclesiastes does talk about the frailty of human life and how quickly life passes, and you dwell in booths. There is that reminder of the fact that we are just passing through this world. Our time here is short. We are transient beings. But it is also a book that says to rejoice in the midst of your labors. Rejoice as you keep the commandments of God. So that is another reason that Kohelet, Ecclesiastes, is read. All right, we'll be back with more. Stay right here.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire. By the way, if you want to see some excerpts from this DVD that we're playing clips from today on the air, if you want to look at it and just see some of the excerpts, you can order it for your gift of any size through our ministry by calling us today. But if you want to check out excerpts from about a 5-minute excerpt from a 100-minute DVD, go to AskDrBrown.org and click on Latest Video. 866-34-TRUTH. So this is a season of joy, rejoicing. It follows a season of repentance, mourning. Obviously, if there was no sense of forgiveness of sins, if there was no assurance of forgiveness of sins, if in the days of the Second Temple, the Jewish traditions are accurate that the people by outward signs would see whether their sins were forgiven or not with the Day of Atonement. Obviously, if they saw nationally that their sins were not forgiven, it would be hard to come into the season with full joy. Nonetheless, the calendar continues, and there are many references in the New Testament to this as well. Let me play another clip from this DVD, and then we'll go to our next multiple choice question. If you'd like to get in the line to answer the question, 866-348-7884. Here's Avner Bosky and myself as we talk about the appointed times as they play out in the New Testament. Clip number 4.
So this actually plays out in the New Testament in John's Gospel. John chapter 1, verse 14, if we think about the image of tabernacling, it says that the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. In fact, the Greek word that John uses is the same word that was used in the Jewish Greek translation of the Old Testament called the Septuagint a couple hundred years before Jesus. It means he literally pitched his tent among us. So in a unique way, God tabernacles among us, and that's part of the imagery.
He boothed among us. God came and dwelt with us like we're dwelling in a booth with him together.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, there are some believers that hold that this was the time of the year that Jesus Yeshua was born. There are those who argue for that, and they can make a good case, and it's possible. And I know believers that celebrate the birth of Jesus at this time of the year, but I see nothing airtight to make that case. I find it interesting. I find it debatable, interesting, and it would be perfectly fine with me if this was the time that the Son of God did come into the world and tabernacled among us, John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's literally he pitched his tent among us, or as Avner said, he boothed among us. All right, so next true and false, multiple choice question for you. Are you ready? Which book of the Bible is read during the Passover season? This is read in the synagogues in addition to the other readings from Torah and other passages of Scripture. Which passage of Scripture is read in the synagogues during the time of Passover? And we're not talking about the parts of the five books of Moses that would be read. Is it, are you ready? You ready? Is it the book of Jonah? Is it the book of Ruth? Is it Song of Solomon? Is it Esther? Or is it Habakkuk? All right, got the question? Which book of the Bible is read during the Feast of Passover in the synagogues? Is it Jonah, Ruth, Song of Solomon, Esther, Habakkuk? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's start with Sylvia in Olney, Maryland. We used to live in Olney, actually from around 87 to 96, but nice to have you on the line of fire. So what's your answer, Sylvia?
I think it's Habakkuk.
All right. No, it's not the right answer, but why do you think Habakkuk?
I just made a guess.
Sylvia, it's worth making a guess. Hey, it didn't cost you anything, and it was nice to hear what sounded like a smiling face on the air. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Sherlon in Brooklyn. What passage of Scripture, what book of the Bible do you think is specially read on Passover in the synagogues?
Jonah?
No, it's not Jonah. Why did you think it might be Jonah?
Because I was actually going to say Exodus, but you said you don't want to find Moses.
Right. Okay. Well, Sherlon, thanks for taking a stab at it. I appreciate it. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Janine on Long Island, where, of course, I spent a good part of my life. What's your guess, Janine?
Well, actually, one of the books in Exodus 2 that was taken.
Take a stab. The list was Ruth, Jonah, Song of Solomon, Esther, and Habakkuk. And we've said it's not Habakkuk and it's not Jonah.
Yeah.
So it's either Ruth, Song of Solomon, or Esther.
I would say Song of Solomon.
You have gotten it right, Janine.
Oh, God.
Good for you. You paused. You were waiting. I saw you didn't want to miss the free DVD.
I was waiting upon the Lord to direct me because I felt Song of Solomon, but then I thought, well, maybe it could be Ruth. So I kept with my original answer.
Well, good for you. All right. Well, you got directed in the right direction. Now, here's what's fascinating. The reason that Song of Solomon is read at this time of the year, the Passover, not this current time, but at the Passover season, is because it is the song, as the synagogue reads it, it's the love song between God and Israel.
That's what I was thinking.
Right. So the Passover is the time when God delivers Israel from Egypt, and hence it's a special time to speak of God's great love for Israel. All right, Janine, stay right there. We'll get your name and address for the DVD. Everybody else, hang in there. We'll be getting to some more questions, and they're all going to be multiple choice, so somebody's going to win at some point. And friends, when we think of tabernacles in Scripture, there are many things we think of. We think of, as a Jewish person, our forefathers living in tents in the wilderness wandering days. We think of the fact that we're just passing through this world. 2 Corinthians 5, Paul speaks of the tent of this body. That term is used elsewhere in the New Testament. Peter talks about putting out the tent of this body. The Son of God pitches his tent among us and does some amazing teaching. We'll talk about it later from John 7 about being the water of life. Why does he talk about that during the season of tabernacles? That's an amazing insight. And then in the future, it symbolizes the harvest of the nations. Get hold of this DVD. You'll love it. You'll really enjoy it and be enriched by it. Your gift of any size, 1-800-278-9978. Jesus and the Feast of Israel, shot on location in the land of Israel. 1-800-278-9978. One more time. That's 1-800-278-9978. And join us. Join us on location in Israel next May with some of the very people on this DVD. Go to askdrbrown.org and sign up for our Israel tour.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, we are continuing on our Thoroughly Jewish Thursday during this special time of the year on the biblical calendar, and we are talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. Now here's what's interesting. 866-34-TRUTH. We're also doing some giveaways through the broadcast with some multiple choice questions. But here's what is really, really interesting. When we look at the Bible, when we continue reading from the Old Testament into the New, from the Hebrew Scriptures into the Greek Scriptures, we see that the Feasts of Israel were not just for Israel alone, meaning they were not just things for Israel's history, looking back, but they are also for all of God's people looking at the cross and looking at the unfolding of biblical history and looking to the final work of God in redemption. So Passover not only looks back to our deliverance from Egypt, but it also looks to the cross, Messiah Jesus being our Passover lamb. And then first fruits, the agricultural celebration that immediately followed the first day after the Sabbath of Passover, does not just point to an agricultural first fruits, but Messiah Jesus rises from the dead the first day after the Sabbath in Passover and becomes the first fruits of those who have passed on, the first fruits of those who sleep, the first fruits of the resurrection of the dead. And then 50 days after Passover celebration, Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, again tied in with an agricultural meaning as well. According to Jewish tradition, that's when the law was given on Mount Sinai. We see in the New Testament that's when the Holy Spirit is poured out, Pentecost, Shavuot, and then that gap of roughly 4 months, and then the holy days beginning in the seventh month, where you have Rosh Hashanah in Jewish tradition, but in the Bible, Yom Truah, the day of the sounding of the trumpet blast, which points ahead. It's not just a wake-up call for the nation in a time of repentance, but it points ahead to the Messiah's return with the sound of the shofar. 10 days later, Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, a time of national cleansing. Zechariah 12 speaks of the Messiah's return. Zechariah 13 speaks of national cleansing coming to Israel, followed 5 days later by the week-long celebration of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, what's interesting is that we see Zechariah 12, Messiah's return, corresponds with trumpets. Zechariah 13, national cleansing for Israel, corresponds with Day of Atonement. Zechariah 14, what does it say? That the survivors of the nations, that attacked Jerusalem will come to Jerusalem year by year to do what? Celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. At the very least, you have to acknowledge that Tabernacles then points prophetically to the ingathering of the nations, the end time harvest of the nations. Doesn't Paul say in Romans 11, that it's on the heels of the fullness of the Gentiles coming in that Israel is saved? So these two things go hand in hand. But there's more. There's more. You could make a good argument that just as the Messiah will literally return and literally put his feet down on the Mount of Olives and destroy the enemies of Israel as his people turn to him in repentance, but that he will actually set up his kingdom in Jerusalem for a thousand-year millennial reign, during which time the feasts and holy days will be kept and celebrated, during which time the survivors of the nations that attacked Jerusalem will go to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, just as Zechariah 14 speaks of. And that's why even now in Israel, there's a massive celebration with people from just about every nation under the sun coming together to worship the God of Israel through Jesus. All right, back with our next multiple choice question. Stay tuned.
Flame, send the
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us during this Feast of Tabernacles season. To be clear, I don't personally build a sukkah. I didn't grow up building a sukkah. It has not become part of my spiritual heritage in the Lord, even though I was a Jewish believer. But many, many of my Messianic Jewish friends also build a sukkah. When I say also, they look at all of the spiritual and prophetic meaning of Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles, and in solidarity with our people, build Sukkot. I've been part of a Messianic congregation in years past where there was a communal sukkah, and we would come together in those settings, but don't want to give any wrong impression. We are free to build and free not to build. 866-34-TRUTH. Before we go back to some of the clips from our DVD on Jesus and the Feasts of Israel with Michael Radelnik, Avner Boesky, and myself, we are giving away free copies of that DVD. And don't worry if you don't get one free, because they're yours for your gift of any size to our ministry. But before we go on with some of these clips and really give you some insights, let's ask our next multiple choice question. Are you ready? Which book of the Bible is read during Shavuot, during the Feast of Weeks or Feast of Pentecost in the synagogues? They don't say the book of Acts, because they're not reading the book of Acts in the synagogues. Not yet, anyway. I don't believe that New Testament is scripture, obviously. But we found out already that Ecclesiastes, Kohelet in Hebrew, is read at this time of the year during Sukkot, Tabernacles. It's read at this time of the year, and it reminds us of the transient nature of life and the calling to have joy in the midst of our deeds. We saw that Song of Solomon is read in the synagogues during the Passover season. Now, again, the only requirement I have is that you can't look this up on internet. You're not allowed to look up the answer on internet. You either have to know the answer or take a guess at it or have some book that you can look at, but you're not allowed to look up the answer on internet. Otherwise, we are so spiritual here. If you were dishonest to get the free DVD when it was sent to you, it wouldn't work. No, I'm kidding about that, but I know you're not going to be dishonest. So you're like, wow, really? Okay, no, I'm just joking with you. So Song of Solomon is read during the Passover season, celebrating the bridal relationship of God and his people Israel. As many Christians read Song of Solomon as a song of love between Jesus and the church, many Jews in history have read it as the love song between God and Israel. So which book of the Bible is read during Shavuot, Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks? Is it Jonah? Is it Ruth? Is it Esther? Is it Obadiah? Is it Habakkuk? Jonah, Ruth, Obadiah, Esther, Habakkuk. Let's go to Houston, Texas with Milton. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. I would say Esther.
No. Why did you think Esther, though?
I thought it was the spirit leading me, I guess.
Hey, listen. Sometimes, as I've been praying about things and feeling the Lord leading me to preach on a certain subject or something else, I'll know. And sometimes the Lord's really given me very specific words that were undeniably from Him. But then I'll be thinking about like a sports event, and in my mind's eye, I see who's going to win, and I see what the final score is. It's just my own imagination. So I guess that can happen with a free DVD too. But Milton, thanks for taking a stab. Esther, of course, is read during Purim. And Esther, the book of Esther tells you about this. When the Jewish people were supposed to be wiped out by the Persians, God supernaturally intervened, and the Jewish people were able to fight back and defeat their enemies. That's when Esther is read. 866-34-TRUTH. Gregory in Washington, D.C., what's your guess?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, my guess would be Habakkuk.
All right, no, that's incorrect, but what's the reason, the rationale for the guess?
Well, you know, I'm not Jewish, but I follow Jewish traditions, and I was looking at maybe it could be either Habakkuk or Obadiah, which is you know, minor prophet.
Got it. Hey, I appreciate taking the stab, Gregory, but it is not Habakkuk. I'm not going to comment on whether it's Obadiah or not, but it is not Habakkuk. All right, so we have now gotten it down to Ruth, Jonah, and Obadiah. We've gotten it down to Ruth, Jonah, and Obadiah. Let's go to Nancy in the Bronx. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Nancy. Are you there?
Hello, yes.
Yes, so you've got three books to choose from, either Ruth, Jonah, or Obadiah. Which of these was read during this time of the year, the time of Pentecost, Shavuot?
I think it's the book of Obadiah.
No. Good guess. Good try, but why did you think Obadiah?
It was just a lucky guess.
Hey, I would do the same thing. If I had a chance, multiple choice, I'd take a stab at it. Thanks for trying. You know, it was mind-boggling when our kids were in school, our older daughter sometimes, if she wasn't sure of an answer, true or false, or multiple choice, she'd just leave it blank. We said, Jen, if it's true or false, you get 50% chance. And if it's multiple choice, you get four choices or five, you got a 20 or 25%. You fill in something. It's one thing if you have to write an essay and you don't know the subject, but... Anyway, all right, so we are down to now Ruth and Jonah. Obadiah, of course, a book of the future destruction or past destruction of Edom. Let's go to Denver in Spring Valley, New York. What's your guess? Is it Ruth or is it Jonah?
I would say Jonah.
All right, not correct. Why did you say Jonah, though? What's your reason?
Well, I think Jonah was given... a challenge to go and preach to the Ninevites, you know, salvation.
Actually,
message, and day of Pentecost talked about the coming of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, hey, it's a great connection. Of course, Jews are not thinking though about the Holy Spirit coming on Pentecost because they don't believe that. Plus, some of these traditions can go back even to more ancient times than this. It's debatable about when this was locked in terms of the reading of these passages of Scripture. In fact, Jonah is read Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, because it is a time of repentance. Okay, now I'm not giving the hint now. So Susan in the Bronx, if you've been paying attention, we're down to one last book. Which is it?
Who, me, Susan?
Yes, Susan, it's you. We're down to the last the last choice.
Well, I was under the train and I couldn't hear. You know, but I came out, and then I caught you because you're on my phone. I turned down my radio. The last book is Ruth.
You nailed it. Good job. Now, did you have a hunch as to what it was either, or you
know,
just?
I read Ruth, and I'm trying to think Pentecost. I have no clue.
Yeah, it's not an obvious connection, but you got it right. Good job there. So, Susan, stay right there, and we will get you in a moment. And get your name and address to send you the free DVD. And stay on the phone because we've got more DVDs to give away, and we're going to be doing this not just the next 15 minutes, but the next hour after that. And I'm going to be coming up with some very interesting questions for you as well. So why is Ruth read at that time of the year? Well, Ruth is a book about, harvest. It's a picture of the harvest. And Shavuot, Pentecost, is known as Chag HaKatzir, the harvest festival. There are also other Jewish traditions. It's believed that David died at this time during Pentecost, Shavuot. Some claim he was born at that time. And, of course, Ruth is connected to David through genealogy. There's some other arguments there. There's even one that claims that since the numerical value of Ruth in Hebrew is 606, that there were seven commandments that were given to Adam and Noah, and at Mount Sinai, the Jews received another 606, the Israelites, which would make 613 commandments, Hence, Ruth, symbolizing 606, is read at the time that Israel received the commandments on Mount Sinai. It's believed they received the commandments on Mount Sinai at Shavuot. Again, I'm not saying any of this is accurate. I'm simply saying these are some of the traditional reasons for it. Okay, we come back, some fascinating insights about these appointed times and the drawing of the water and the symbolizing of water. As Jesus said, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. It was during this very time of the year, the Feast of Tabernacles, and in fact, during a special day of water drawing, that this saying of Yeshua comes, John chapter 7.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, yeah. My dear friend, Paul Wilbur, and Israel's Hope. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, that may not have been Israel's Hope with Paul, but that's how I heard the song many years, part of Beth Messiah congregation in Maryland, late 80s, early 90s. We're talking about the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, and I want to take you back into our DVD on Jesus and the Feast of Israel, recorded by the Day Discovery broadcast. And this is a conversation now with Michael Rudelnik and myself. Clip number 6, Joey, and what is especially significant, in fact, let's play number 5 first. This is the teaching of Jesus Yeshua, and then we're going to give you the context. By the way, Michael is going to be the co-leader of the tour with me in Israel, May 20th to 30th. So some of the things we're talking about, and we're pointing this out, and if you look here, and if you can be there with us as these very things unfold in front of your eyes, May 20th to 30th of next year. But now's a great time to get your deposit in. So go to AskDrBrown.org and just click on the banner for the Israel tour. So this is what Jesus says, and it's during this time, the Feast of Tabernacles.
On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive.
Now, what's the background to that? Why did he cry out on a loud voice on the last and greatest day of the feast and said, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink, 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 drink. Whoever believes in me, out of his belly will flow rivers, rivers, these water images, rivers of living water. Number 6.
And then what about there's the water?
The water is very significant because in Judaism, there was a thing called the water libation ceremony, that we draw waters from the wells of salvation, and they would bring water up from the pool of Siloam up here to the Temple Mount above us, and on the altar they would pour the water, symbolizing that one day the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And because of that water libation, it's Jesus in the midst of the festival of tabernacles, of booths. John 7, he says, anyone that comes to me, the rivers of living water will come forth from his innermost being. And he is saying the living waters that you need is not from a libation, not from the pool of Siloam. It comes from me, and I will give it to you, and it will pour forth. And then, of course, John tells us he referred this to the Holy Spirit that would come upon those who followed him.
Yeah, and the next clip, and again, this is from our DVD. It's put out by the Day of Discovery, Jesus in the Feast of Israel. It's 100 minutes long. It's almost 2 hours long, 4 25-minute episodes. This is from the last episode, the one focusing on the Feast of Tabernacles. You can also get a sample of it by going to AskDrBrown.org and click on Latest Video. Now this is my colleague Avner Boesky pointing out exactly how some of these things unfolded.
We're looking at the City of David, ancient Jerusalem from 2,000 years ago. And this is where the priests would have come for the Feast of Tabernacles to gather water from the Pool of Siloam. That's at the very foot of the City of David, that oblong pool, with thousands and thousands of people gathered together, great celebration, dancers, jugglers even. And they would take that water up all the way up the City of David, very steep hill, to the Temple Mount and pour it out there in a ceremony of the drawing of water.
By the way, won't it be cool to stand in that very place with us next year and to look at these very things as the tour guides and different ones of us teach and instruct? And yeah, it's just, I'm thinking back to how special it was to be there in the land as these things unfolded and as we recorded this DVD. Okay, my last multiple choice question of this hour. You ready? 866-34-TRUTH. When it comes to building the sukkah, when it comes to building the tabernacle, the booth in which Jewish people will have their meals and sit and talk on a regular basis over 7 days of the festival. All right. When it comes to building the booth, how do you know how to build it if you're a traditional Jew? How do you know how to build it? Number one, the scripture tells you explicitly. The scripture gives you detailed rules on how to build. Number two, it's just logic. Only a few ways you could do it. Number three, the Holy Spirit leads the people. Number four, there are specific traditions that the rabbis have passed down. How do you know how to build it? Let's go to Wade in Uniondale on Long Island. What's your guess, sir?
That's a tough one, Dr. Brown.
Take a stab. Take a stab.
I'm going to get the DVD regardless because you're an awesome person.
Well, God bless you.
Thank God for your ministry. I just got your book, Going Sin No More. Awesome. I gave my dad to read it. They're buying a whole lot because you're just our Apostle Paul in my day. So I just love you so much, man.
Well, I appreciate your gracious words.
Oh, yeah. I just recommend you to everybody. I work at LIJ, a Jewish hospital, and they have a sukkah right outside, you know.
Yeah.
And I took a semester of Hebrew. Chag Sameach. It means happy holidays.
Good for you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I'm going to take a stab at tradition.
You nailed it. You nailed it on your stab. Now here's what's interesting. And by the way, Alan Scott, others, stay right there. You can get in on our next giveaway. But thank you for the kind words. And I'm trying to follow Paul as he followed Jesus. And hopefully we can continue to set good examples for others. But here's what's interesting: the traditional Jewish way to build it says it must be built with very specific elements and with very specific dimensions. Otherwise, it's not legit. You say that's not taught in the Bible. The Bible doesn't lay it out specifically like that, but Jewish tradition does. So a traditional Jew to build it, they could only build it one way. You say, well, where do they get it from? Well, they claim that Moses gave these specifics of how to build a sukkah on Mount Sinai, and they have been passed on orally through all of the generations. Obviously, there are many reasons to differ with that and question that, but that's what a traditional Jew would believe. And therefore, if you see an official sukkah, it will always be built the same way. Hey, Wade, again, thanks for the kind words. I'm blessed that we can be a blessing to you and your family. And everybody right now, here's how you get your DVD for your gift of any size. So those that have more can help. For those who have left and have less, and everybody can get one. Even if you weren't able to call in and get one of our free giveaways, we have a whole lot more where these come from. And they're yours for your gift of any size. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. And to join us in Israel next year, it'd be worth putting the funds aside to make it happen. Go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the Israel tour. My bottom line today, during this Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus Yeshua is crying out once more, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Well, we are right in the midst of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. We're going to give you insights straight from the land of Israel about this amazing time of the year.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, as they say in Hebrew, Chag Sameach, happy holidays. It is the festival of Sukkot, the time of the year where over a one-week period, Jews around the world will spend a lot of their time in a sukkah, in a booth, in a tabernacle, and they will eat and hang out together and should be talking about spiritual things and rejoice. And obviously it follows the time of repentance and fasting and praying and asking God for mercy during the time of the year that precedes this. So we want to talk about tabernacles. We want to talk about some of the spiritual significance of it. We're going to take you on location in the land of Israel. I know it's radio, not TV, but we're going to be playing some clips from our DVD, our almost two-hour DVD. It's 100 minutes long. 425-minute broadcast recorded by the Day of Discovery. I'm joined by Dr. Michael Redelnik. He actually hosted the program, and then Avner Boske, a Canadian Jewish believer who's lived in Israel much of his life and grew up, interestingly, fluent in Hebrew and fluent in Yiddish with his family in Canada. These two are just amazing expert tour guides with insights on the land. So we had a blast recording these. We're going to be playing some segments to you, for you from that as well. 866-34-TRUTH. And for the last hour, we've been giving away free copies of this Jesus and the Feast of Israel. It's yours for your gift of any size through this week. But we've been giving away free copies with multiple choice questions. So if you'd like to join in, now here's the ground rule. You're not allowed to look this up online. You can't type in my question. Now, some of them would be a little tough to type in and figure out exactly how to get the info, but many others would be real easy to type in and get the answer. You're not allowed to do that. That's right. As Dwight, our faithful call screener, pointed out, if you go to the internet to get the answer and don't follow our ground rules to get a free DVD from a believing ministry, what happens when you get the DVD is it self-destructs. Yeah, that, no, I'm just joking with you. But those are the only ground rules. If you have books to study, if you have a friend, you can pick up the phone and call and ask. That's okay. But you're just not allowed to go online. And if you happen to know these things, you're a professor in this field or a religious Jew and you know this stuff all your life, that's fine. You can call into and get the free DVD. In fact, it would be our special joy to send you this DVD on Jesus, Yeshua, and the Feast of Israel. So, number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. And before we get into some fascinating background, I want to take you to Genesis, the first chapter. Genesis, the first chapter, when God establishes sun, moon, stars, etc. Look at what he says, beginning in verse 14. Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate day from night. They shall serve as signs for the set times, the days, and the years. They shall serve as lights in the expanse of the sky to shine upon the earth. And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to dominate the day, the lesser light to dominate the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the sky to shine upon the earth, to dominate the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that this was good. There was evening, there was morning, a fourth day. Yeah, on the one hand, in its most simple meaning, they shall serve as signs for the set times, the days, and the years. That's all it's saying, that you know days and years based on the sun, moon, stars in the sky. But there's also an understanding that says the set times means also the feasts and holy days of the biblical calendar. And of course, they are known by the dates. Those dates would correlate with the new moons, etc. All right, back with a whole lot more of interest.
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, yeah, I played part of that clip the last hour as well, but I never tire of hearing my friend Paul Wilbur on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, and it's a good time to talk about the tents of the Lord because of this time of the people of Israel spending their days and nights in the Sukkot booths, tabernacles. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to give you, multiple choice question in a moment. So if you'd like to get on the line and have the opportunity to go for it, once we go through one, when we have a winner, you can stay on the line and we'll put you up for the next multiple choice. So stay tuned. 866-34-TRUTH. This is from our DVD, Jesus and the Feast of Israel, put together, produced by the Day of Discovery TV broadcast, hosted by Michael Redelnik, who will be my co-host, co-leader of the tour to Israel next May, May 20th to 30th. So if you've wanted to go to Israel, been thinking about it, this is the time to go. This is absolutely the time to go. Mike Redelnik and I doing it together, it'll be a first in so many ways, and it's just going to be a rich, life-changing event. So for info on that, go to askdrbrown.org. You can sign up, get your deposit in today, and you won't regret a moment of it. But here's some further insight as we sum up the appointed times, the importance of these. You'll hear my voice, the voice of Avner Boesky, just amazingly insightful Messianic Jewish brother living in Israel, and then Professor Michael Redelnik. We go all the way back to the spring feast, and Passover points to the Messiah's death, and first fruits his resurrection, and then Shavuot, Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, the outpouring of the Spirit. And we have this gap.
And then we've got the Feast of Trumpets, which is the calling to return to God, God sounding his purposes over the earth.
And you got and the one day there'll be a call,
the Messiah's
trumpet
returned.
Sound.
Yeah, I mean, throughout the New Testament, Matthew 24 and 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4.
Trumpets still have a place in the plan of God.
He comes with the sound of a trumpet. And then Zechariah 12 tells us that at that time is when our people, Israel, turn to the Lord in repentance. And then Zechariah 13.
They will turn to him and call upon him. He'll deliver them. And then Zechariah 13 says that a fount will be open for forgiveness. It'll be like a day of atonement.
Yes. And then Zechariah 14.
Is a day of the Feast of Tabernacles, not only for Jerusalem, but for the whole world.
Yeah, amazing how these things play out in Scripture. Okay, here's my next multiple choice question for you. Are you ready? 866-34-TRUTH. Jesus gave teaching in John, the 10th chapter. There he said that he was the true gate. He was the true shepherd. And we're told when he gave that teaching, when specifically he gave that teaching in John 10. So, was it during the time of Passover that he gave that teaching? Was it during the time of Pentecost, Feast of Weeks? Was it during the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur? Was it during this very time now, Tabernacles? Or was it at the time of Hanukkah, which is not one of the specific feasts given in the Hebrew Scriptures, but something that took place in between the Old and New Testament? So when Jesus gave his teaching in John 10, and you just pick, again, you're not allowed to look this up online, all right, but you're going to just take a guess, all right? And as soon as we have a winner, if you're on hold, then you'll be up for the next question. So when he gave his teaching in John 10, you may have the answer, it may just be a total stab for you. Was it in conjunction with Passover, Pentecost, Day of Atonement, Tabernacles, or Hanukkah? And we will start with Alan in Manhattan. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, hi. It was the Hanukkah, the Feast of Dedication in John 10.
Ah, all right. Why do you say that? You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Well, it says the feast of, on the Feast of Dedication. It literally says that in 10 verse 1, I think it is.
Yeah, now what's interesting is that many believers don't realize that that's what Hanukkah is, that Hanukkah is the Feast of Dedication, and that's what the word says itself, the Hebrew word itself has to do with dedication. So, yep, exactly right. And then some say that there's further teaching when he's talking about being a true shepherd and the true leader, that some of this goes back to what happened during the days of the Maccabees and the revolt against Greek rule, and you also had false shepherds and false leaders of the people, so that many of his teachings make certain sense given the historical context. So stay right there, Alan. In a sense, this was the easiest one I've had so far, but unless you make that connection, you may have read it all your life and not known. 866-34-TRUTH. Plenty more time to win one of these DVDs. So it is Jesus and the Feast of Israel. And of course, if you don't win, just call to order your gift of any size. You'll be enriched by it. I'll give you that number in a little while. Let's go back to the DVD. And again, the voices you'll hear, my voice, Professor Michael Rudelnik, and Avner Boesky, clip number 8, as we talk about how big, how large, how amazing this Feast of Tabernacles was in Israel.
So you've got this image. It's a big procession, right?
Yeah. I mean,
a big, big event.
Huge.
Drawing of the water. And then
jugglers, torch, throwers.
So this is a bigger event than we could just picture.
And Jesus says this in the midst of
it. If anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink.
So he's saying that he is the fulfillment of the spiritual blessing of this Feast of Tabernacles.
Amazingly, people start saying, well, could this one be the Messiah? That's the immediate response to what he says, because they know that he's declaring that he is the Messiah, the one who's going to come and who will give the knowledge of the Lord to the whole world.
Right, and one more clip on that. Let's go to clip number 9. That now gets into the last day of the feast, an additional day, an 8th day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And this is when Jesus gives his teaching, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink.
There was a light ceremony, a torch ceremony here on the Temple Mount. And it got bigger and bigger every day, so that on the last day of the feast, the great Hosanna, the super duper celebration, there would be so many torches on the Temple Mount that they said, according to the rabbinic literature, that you could see the light of the temple all the way far away in Galilee. That's how bright it was.
By the way, you'll be with us at these very locations, at the Temple Mount. You'll be with us in Galilee, God willing, next year, if you join our tour to Israel. And some of the very people on this DVD, they'll be with you day and night as well, helping enrich the tour. So go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the Israel Tour banner to find out more. Let me read from the Bible Background Commentary, put together, Bible Background Commentary, New Testament, by my friend, the amazingly humble New Testament scholar, Craig Keener. John 7:37, where Jesus stands up on the last day of this feast. The last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, mentioned in John 7:2, probably refers to the 8th day. For at least the first 7 days of the feast, priests marched in procession from the Pool of Siloam to the temple and poured out water at the base of the altar. Pilgrims to the feast watched this ritual, which Jews throughout the Roman world thus knew. It was even commemorated on souvenir jars they could take home with them. Verse 38 of John 7, the public reading of Scripture at this feast included the one passage in the prophets that emphasized this feast, Zechariah 14, which was interpreted in conjunction with Ezekiel 47. So, do you understand what's being said there? Zechariah 14 tells us that the survivors of the nations that tried to destroy Jerusalem, the survivors of those nations, when Jesus, the Messiah, returns, will go up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. And Zechariah 14 speaks of that, but then speaks about living water, living water. And then that's tied in with Ezekiel 47, the living water that brings healing and life wherever it goes. So Craig Keener points out, together these texts taught that rivers of living water would flow forth from the temple. And Jewish teaching at the very center of the earth from the foundation stone of the temple, bringing life to all the earth. The water drawing ceremony, 737 of John, originally meant to secure rain, pointed towards this hope. So this was a time of the year when there would also be prayer for the nations and prayer for rain for Israel. Because the water of verse 38 flows to and not from the believer. 738 and 737, 38 may be punctuated to read, "If anyone thirsts, let this one come to me, and let whoever believes in me drink, as the scripture says, rivers of living water will flow."
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
During this special season, Feast of Tabernacles, we are playing excerpts of the DVD produced by the Day of Discovery and available through us this week for your gift of any size, Jesus in the Feasts of Israel. Now, let me make this plain. Jesus himself, Yeshua himself, puts himself in the middle of the feasts. He intentionally teaches certain things at certain times of the year to drive points home and to make known that he is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, that that which was spoken of in the past points to him and finds its fulfillment in him. There's no question about that. 866-348-7884. So let's listen to this verse from John chapter 8.
When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life."
Now, what's the context there? We know that we have at the beginning of John, the 8th chapter, the account of the woman caught in adultery. And then after that, the teaching of Jesus continues. So since there's dispute about exactly where that passage should be placed, the woman caught in adultery is not in the earliest manuscripts of John 8. It's found in some different places and some of the other ancient gospel manuscripts. So here's what we have. We have the dialogue with the Feast of Tabernacles, where Jesus is interacting with the other Jewish listeners there, his Jewish audience, and is he a prophet, and is he the Messiah, and so on and so forth, okay? And then if we come to the end of chapter 7, and now the first fresh teaching where we know exactly that what follows, John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, "I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." So what's going on? You have the great water procession. We just talked about that. Every day, procession with the priests carrying water from the Pool of Siloam. And that culminates with this massive water drawing ceremony. Again, this was a big event, and Jews came from around the Jewish world, scattered in the nations, to be there and to celebrate this. And again, it's fascinating that, as Craig Keener points out in this Bible background commentary, that pilgrims to the feast watch this ritual, which would be a procession from the Pool of Siloam to the temple, where water was poured out at the base of the altar. And you could take back souvenir jars that commemorated this event. And then Jesus gets up and he says this with a loud voice. Remember, they're coming and they're drawing water, and their scriptures are being read or pointed to that speak of living water. At the end of the age, and it was God reigns as king on the earth. And look at what it says. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." And then people hear and they say, wow, he's the prophet. No, he's the Messiah. No, we don't. He didn't come from the right place. And who is he? And so on. And then religious leaders, obviously not happy with the crowds looking to him, and conflict happens. But this is all, you've got to understand, this is all quite intentionally being played out, quite intentionally being played out in the context of the Feast of Tabernacles. They would come at night with torches. So you've got the light ceremony, you've got the water ceremony. Jesus says, it's all pointing to me. It's all about me. Let's play clip number 11, Avner Boesky and Michael Redelnik speaking more about this issue of Jesus being the light of the world.
All these hills were covered with lights and shining and dancing and rejoicing.
Reflecting the idea that when the Messiah came, the light of God would come to the whole world. And in this context, if you read the Gospel of John, it is at the Feast of Booths that Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Mm. If any man comes to me, he won't walk in darkness anymore. That this he is the light. He is the Messiah. He's declaring that he is the one that will bring the light of God to all people if they would follow him.
Okay. Are you ready for your next multiple choice question? 866-34-TRUTH. There is a cycle of reading scripture in the synagogue where you read through the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, annually. You read through them and then supplement it with other parts of scripture through the year. But you read through the five books of Moses in your weekly synagogue reading. That is on an annual basis. All right? So, what festival, what holy day ends with what is called Simchat Torah or Simchas Torah, the joy of the Torah, where many religious Jews will stay up all night studying Torah together and celebrating and drinking, some having a bit too much to drink, but it's a time of celebration. All right, so what feast, what time of the year culminates with that? Is it Passover? Is it Pentecost? Shavuot? Is it Day of Atonement? Is it Tabernacles? Is it Hanukkah? Which of these feasts or holy days culminates with Jews staying up through the night, what's called Simchas Torah, Simchat HaTorah, culminating the completion of the reading of the Torah and the beginning of a new cycle? Which is it? 866-348-7884. Scott in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. What's your guess?
This is after Sukkot, also was along with the Shemini Atzeret.
All right. You obviously weren't taking a guess. You know this. So how do you know these things?
I have a complete Jewish Bible, and I just looked at all the readings that happen, and I also have done Simchat Torah, so.
All right. Well, good for you, Scott. Stay right there. Okay. Everybody else, stay on hold, and you'll get in on the next multiple choice question or giveaway of Jesus in the Feast of Israel DVD. So, yes, it's at the culmination of this very season that we're in now, just about a week from now, when traditional Jews will stay up as much as they can through the night as they culminate the completion of the Torah reading and the beginning of a new Torah cycle. All right, friends, get a copy of the DVD. Yeah, only a limited number of people are able to get through and win the free ones, but they're yours for your gift of any size. You'll find it totally enriching, edifying, eye-opening, and better still, if you can join me in the land of Israel and have this face-to-face next year. But right now, get the DVD by calling 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978. And to join me in Israel next year, go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on our Israel tour. Get your deposit in. Sign up today.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, thanks for joining us on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday in the midst of Sukkot, the midst of the Festival of Tabernacles. Traditional Jews and many non-traditional Jews around the world will build a sukkah, a booth, in commemoration, remembrance of our wilderness wanderings in Sukkot at this time of the year. Among other passages of scripture read in the synagogue, the book of Ecclesiastes is read, Kohelet is read. This can be read in different settings and contexts, reflected on while people sit in their tabernacles and have meals together. And in point of fact, it's read for a couple of reasons. One being it points to the transitory nature of life. Another, it speaks of the joy that we are to have in the midst of our labors. We are doing giveaways, free DVD to those that get the right answer to our multiple choice questions. Now, the last question that I asked a few minutes ago, our first caller knew it. He didn't take a guess. He got it. He had it exactly right. We had earlier in the first hour of the broadcast where I gave five choices, and it took the fifth caller. Even caller number four, they had a 50% chance because we keep eliminating possibilities. So get on the line now, and then you'll be up for our next giveaway coming in a little while, 866-34-TRUTH. I may take some questions as well, and we're going to be playing clips for you from the DVD, some great edifying, insightful material filmed on location, the Land of Israel. This was just sent to me. It was sent out the evening of the 16th from Betty. I don't know why you have people call the show and you won't take their call. Sometimes you talk a little too much. This is talk radio. It is my show. So, I hope what I say is at least worthwhile while I'm talking a little too much in your judgment. I like the show, Betty says, but I get upset when you keep giving out the number and say you'll get to the calls and don't. That is lying. I listened to the whole program on the 16th. You didn't answer one call, but you kept giving out the number. If you want to do all the talking, then stop giving out the number. Stop saying you'll get to the calls and you come back from break and don't. Just drives me crazy. Hey Betty, just bring a smile to my face. My office said it to me, knowing I would smile. Now, Betty, I'm not smiling because it's driving you crazy, but I want to assure you there's no lying going on, all right? Sometimes there are callers I plan to get to, and when I go to get to them, they have dropped out and they're not there, and those are the ones I wanted to talk to. Sometimes people call and they want to talk about subjects that are completely irrelevant, totally off the topic of the show, and therefore we're not going to take the call because if someone called in now and they want to talk about the pennant race in baseball and they're going to take 3 minutes of caller time to do, well, this is not sports talk radio. Sometimes people are just totally off topic. Sometimes the folks we want to get to aren't there. However, we always do our best to follow through accordingly. I may tell you I'm going to get to call right on the other side of the break and something major comes up that we need to address, but we do our best to do it. So I'm really sorry if it drives you crazy. I probably will talk a little too much on different days because sometimes I have a lot to say. And some days, every so often, there are days where I've just got to unburden myself and deliver what God's laid on my heart. And I'm going to take the whole show and talk. But normally when I do that, I'll say I'm not going to be taking calls today. I'm not going to be taking many calls today. But keep listening, and I'll do my best not to drive you crazy, all right? And everybody, are you listening? When we get back on the other side of the break, I'm going to play a clip from the broadcast, and then I'm going to go to a call, take a question, and then I'm going to give you another multiple choice question. Is that all right? Everybody with me? Let's see if I do it.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah. Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Welcome to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, now, Betty, if you're listening, I don't know what time of the day you listen. There was a caller I was going to go to right after the break and answer his question, but he had to go. That's the one I was going to talk to. He had to go. Now, you'd think, well, I'm lying. No, I wasn't lying. That's the one I was going to talk to. It was very relevant to the show and to our topic on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, but he had to go. So you're going to say, I didn't lie. That's the one I was going to go to on the other side of the break, you see? 866-34-TRUTH. We are going to give you our next multiple choice question in a moment, but back to our DVD, Jesus and the Feast of Israel. And this is Avner Boesky talking about the worldwide implications of the Feast of Tabernacles as reflected in Zechariah 14 and in the Torah as well.
Let's not forget also the prophet Zechariah, chapter 14, who says all the nations of the world are going to come up here to Jerusalem to celebrate this feast. So this is probably one of the main feasts that the prophets say is going to have worldwide implications. And it's interesting, in the Law of Moses, there were 70 bulls offered in sacrifice, which is the same number in Genesis 10 as the 70 nations of the world. And so many people look at that, see that this is a universal perspective of a universal calling of the nations to the God, not only of the whole world, but also the God of Israel.
Now, here's what's interesting. You might not have noticed that. You might not have noticed that there were 70 animals offered up specifically on this day. But if you go to Numbers, all right, if you go to Numbers and you go to chapter 29, it goes through, okay, the seventh month, the first day of the month, that's what we just passed through. In Jewish tradition, it's become Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the new year. But in biblical days, it was Yom Teruah, the day of the sounding of the trumpet blast, the shofar blast. So it goes through the offerings that would be offered up. And then the 10th day, of course, Holy Convocation, Day of Atonement. We just passed through that. And now, the season that we're in, the 15th day of the seventh month, you shall have a Holy Convocation. You shall do no customary work. You shall keep a feast to the Lord 7 days. Now it says this: present a burnt offering, an offering made by fire, as a sweet aroma to the Lord. 13 young bulls, 2 rams, 14 lambs in their first year. They shall be without blemish. Grain offering, so on, right? Second day, 12 bulls, 2 rams, 14 lambs. So notice it was 13 bulls the first day, then 12 bulls, but the rams and lambs remain the same. And then 11 bulls, and then it counts its way down until you get to, on the seventh day, present 7 bulls, all right? So when you add this up, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, what do you come to? You come to 70. So the eighth day, present a burnt offering made by fire as a sweet aroma to the Lord, 1 bull, 1 ram. So you end up with 70. And Genesis 10, it gives a list of the nations of the world, which is 70. So in Jewish tradition, this becomes the number for the nations of the world, 70. And this was a time when there was prayer for rain for the nations and for Israel. So this was a specific time where Jewish tradition said we are supposed to be praying for the nations of the world, symbolized by the 70 bulls that were offered up on that time. Okay, are you ready for the next question? 866-34-TRUTH. This is not related to the feast. This is just Jewish custom. And first one that gets the right answer gets a free copy of the 100-minute DVD filmed on location in the land of Israel, Jesus and the Feast of Israel. The Jewish custom of wearing a head covering called the yarmulke, or which is the Polish derivation, or kippah in Hebrew. How far back does that go? How far back does this go? Does it go back to the days of Abraham? Does it go back to the days of Moses? Does it go back to the days of Ezra? Does it go back to the days of Jesus? Or is it something that was not done in the days of the Old or New Testament? In other words, was it something that would have been an unknown custom or tradition? I'm not saying did men never wear head coverings. I'm saying this idea that to please God and to remember that God is above and to walk in humility before him, some of the reasons that traditional Jews wear the yarmulke, the Jewish man, the yarmulke, the head covering. So how far back does it go? Does it go back to the days of Abraham? Can we trace that back? Do we have tradition that points us back to that and says, yeah, this is when it actually began, maybe archaeological evidence? Or if not the days of Abraham, perhaps the days of Moses? If you were there in the days of the wilderness wanderings, you would have seen the Israelite men wearing this particular type of head covering, or you would have seen all of the men with head covering because that's what they did. Maybe not so far back, maybe the days of Ezra, who's about 500 years before the time of Jesus and almost a millennium after the time of Moses. Is that when the custom began or was recognized as Jewish law? Or maybe in Jesus' day, and if you lived in that day, you would have seen all the men wearing a head covering, whether it was this type of head covering, you would have universally seen it because a traditional Jew would not have gone out with his head uncovered. Or is it something that postdates the Bible, something that did not begin as a recognized Jewish custom or a binding Jewish custom until centuries after the New Testament? Maybe you've seen pictures of Jesus and he has a head covering like this. Is that accurate? 866-34-TRUTH. So let's start with Sherry in Clearwater Beach. All right. Let's go to Abe in Tyler, Texas. What's your answer? When did this become a binding custom among Jewish people?
I'm going to say it's the very last one.
All right.
It started there after Jesus' time.
All right. Why do you say that?
Well, because I've been listening to your show for quite a while now, Dr. Brown, and I've heard you teach on that before.
All right. Now, yeah, I mean, I thought about it. When is the last time I brought that up? And it's been a while, but that is a good, sharp listener, thank you, Abe. You nailed it. Yeah, we know that the high priest wore this mitre, this particular type of hat, and it may have been common for Jewish men to wear turbans at different times or other head coverings at different times, maybe part of the larger culture. But without a doubt, it was not a binding Jewish custom. If you ever see some depiction of Jesus and he's wearing a yarmulke, he's wearing that head covering. No, that would have been unknown in his day. The Pope wears it today. No, that would have been unknown in Jesus' day. It's a custom that comes really centuries after. It could well be 500 years after that in certain parts of the Jewish world before it became considered a binding custom. In other parts of the Jewish world, even 1,000 years after Jesus, it was not considered a binding custom the way it is today. So you nailed it, Abe. Two straight callers, educated, got on the first guest. Stay right there, and we will get this DVD out to you. Let's play one last clip, and let's go all the way to the book of Revelation, clip number 13.
And, you know, in Revelation, the 7th chapter, it speaks of a multitude that no one could number from every language and tribe.
That's
and,
right.
And they have palm branches. Mm-hmm. And they have, why palm branches?
Well, that's part of the feast because palm branches were used. It's part of the celebration of the booze and the dancing with these things. Yeah.
You're supposed to take palm branches and willow branches and myrtle tree branches and sweet fruit, and you wave them about, and that's going to signify the day when the knowledge of God covers every aspect. You wave it above you and below you and around you, and that's what you're supposed to do. And one day they've got palm branches and they're waving it because the knowledge of the Lord has come to all the nations.
International harvest is what we're talking about.
Right, so the harvest, the end of the age, Tabernacles points towards that. The Great Commission ties in with the biblical calendar. Think of that. The Great Commission ties in with the biblical calendar, end time harvest. 866-348-7884. All right, tell you what, Linda in Charlotte, you would have been our very next caller. So here's what I'm going to do. You get 2 minutes to think of this. Think up any Jewish question, Israel-related question, anything whatsoever. Just think up a question relating to Israel, the Jewish people. And it could be there have been any heavyweight boxing champs who were Jewish. Come up with any question, and you'll be the last to get the free DVD. To order your copy, your gift of any size, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I've never done a giveaway like the one that we're about to do, but hey, why not? It's my show. We can have some fun and be creative in our giveaways. We've been having folks answer multiple choice questions, and we started with we didn't get the right answer until the fifth and final call, which meant the third caller had a 1 in 3 chance of getting things right. The first caller had a 1 in 5 chance, second a 1 in 4, third a 1 in 3, second a 1 in 2, and then the last one, all they had to do is be listening and they'd get the right answer because we kept eliminating them multiple choice wise. But we're going to do a little bit different. We've given Linda 2 minutes to think of any Jewish question to ask me. Now, I didn't say I'm going to answer it. I may not have the answer, but any Jewish question. And with that, she gets her free DVD. So Linda in Charlotte, this is our first ever giveaway of this kind, but I figured we'd have a little fun with the last call of the day. So what's your Jewish related question for me?
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thanks. I've always wondered about the Holocaust, and I love the Jewish people, but my question is, was the Holocaust a judgment from the Lord on the Jewish people? I know it's a heavy question, but
yeah,
I've always wondered.
Yeah, Linda, let me just say that's a very heavy question, obviously, and in the midst of saying we'll have a little fun with this last call and giveaway, it's quite sobering. Let me say this first. I, like other Jews, agonized over this, not because I was directly touched, as some of my friends and colleagues, for example, Michael Radelnik, who will be the co-leader with me on the tour next May to Israel. His parents were Holocaust survivors, and they lost large parts of their families. There are other friends and colleagues I have whose mothers, fathers lost basically every relative they had. I was not touched as directly by it, but as a Jew, you're touched by it. And then years back, I started reading a lot of Holocaust literature, and I would literally cry myself to sleep some nights. I mean, I just, it'd be overload. It would be too intense. The nature of the cruelty, the nature of the suffering, the insanity of it. And then I'd think, and are these, what happens to these people when they die? And I couldn't even think of those issues. So when I wrote my 5-volume series, Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus, the first volume dealt with general and historical objections, came out in the year 2000. And one of the objections that I put in the book that I felt I needed to answer and that my publisher had on the list of questions I was going to cover was, what about the Holocaust? Before I can even think about Jesus, you need to address that, especially because it was European church-sponsored anti-Semitism or church-driven anti-Semitism that helped fuel the fires of Nazi anti-Semitism, even though Nazism itself was anti-Christian. So I agonized over that. It was the very last question that I answered. It's not the last going through the book, but it's the very last one that I answered. And I really agonized over the answer. And in fact, if you would rather have this book, Volume 1 of Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus, where I answer the Holocaust question of death, we'll send you that as a gift, all right? Just to do something special. I went through the various traditional Jewish options. There are some traditional Jews who believe it was judgment because the population of Germany, the Jewish population, was so secular. They had cast off so many traditions that there are traditional Jews who say it was divine judgment. And you could argue, based on Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, that, in fact, it was divine judgment and a curse because of disobedience to the law. I cannot say that the Holocaust was primarily divine judgment. It goes so far beyond the pale of even what God said would happen in judgment. And then you had secular Jews and then very traditional Jews. Poland lost 3 million out of 3.3 million Jews, just a mind-boggling number. Many of them were very traditional and seeking to follow God, yes, with their traditions, but seeking to observe the Torah. I do not believe in any way we can say it was primarily divine judgment. We can say something was missing, something was lacking, something terrible happened because of a lack of blessing and covering. However, I see it as a much, much bigger picture. I see it as also part of what paves the way for the birth of the modern state of Israel.
Yeah.
I also see it as a point of identification and our suffering and our pain and our persecution that ultimately, I'm not saying this is the cause of the Holocaust, but a redemptive side of it.
Right.
Or I'm not saying it's the purpose of the Holocaust, but a way that Israel can ultimately relate to Jesus, the Messiah, the suffering servant. I'm not giving it full justice in my answer, but Linda, stay right there. I'll take it as providential. I'll take it as providential that I decided, rather than saying, okay, we're done with calls, to take Linda's call and then to just figure, okay, we're going to have fun. I'll get asked some random question and get asked in a certain way one of the heaviest questions imaginable. But it reminds me all the more to pray for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, that my Jewish friends, rabbis, counter-missionaries, secular Jews, family members that don't know Yeshua the Messiah, would find a point of identification in the midst of the suffering we've endured through the centuries, that we'd look to the one who was pierced on our behalf, the one who also suffered undeservedly, the one who was also hated and looked at as a leper and a pariah. But in his case, he was perfect and without sin, and by his wounds, there's healing for us. So yes, it's a time of rejoicing on the biblical calendar. It is a time of celebration, but it's also a time of reflection. And friends, if you haven't yet signed up, the earlier the better. I know it's over 7 months away, but the earlier the better. Join me in Israel next year, the trip of a lifetime. We'll even be doing Line of Fire live broadcasts some nights, and you, our tour group, will be the listening live audience. You'll be able to ask questions of Mike Rudelik and I, and this broadcast will go around the world, across America, like always, and you'll be our listening audience. Some of the people that you heard on the DVD will be right there with us in the land. I'm thinking about it all the time, can hardly wait to be back there and to be there with all of you. So go to AskDrBrown.org, the trip, four and five-star accommodations, breakfast, dinner, $3,700 for the entire trip, May 20th to 30th. And if you compare us with other trips, I've been amazed to see some even $1,000 more than ours, $500 more than ours, and I guarantee they're not going to be any richer than ours in terms of content and not going to be any better accommodation. So get your deposits in, AskDrBrown.org, click on the Israel tour, and yeah, I'll be with you. I'll be with you during the day. Obviously, I can't hang out with everybody all day, every day, but we'll have a lot of times to speak, to interact. We'll get to meet each other. We'll have different times to have meals, and it's just going to be a rich, wonderful time. And to get the DVD, if you want to see a sampling of it, go to AskDrBrown.org and click on Latest Videos. And then just call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Four 25-minute episodes recorded by the Day of Discovery on location in Israel on Jesus and the Feast of Israel for your gift of any size. My bottom line today, as we look at our Jewish friends, neighbors, sitting in their sukkahs having their meals, let's remember it's not just about Israel. It's about the end-time harvest of the nations as well.